Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, you're listening to Garrison with your host, Craig Garrison.
Michael Clark is the executive director, the president, I think, too, of the American Family Association of Indiana, a longtime friend of the show, good friend of Todd's and mine as well, a guy that's kind of a great piece of moral compassing on the social issues and things, for that matter, Michael, like homeschool education. Good morning and happy Memorial Day to you.
Well, same to you, and thank you for having Steve Stone and Rachel Thompson on last half hour. I hope that was helpful to the audience. We certainly enjoyed listening to it at home here.
Well, it's an interesting concept that I suspect probably sends most people running out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and I remember talking the weekend when I did the homeschool commencement address years ago. I don't know, it's been 5-6 years back, I suppose, now. I also emceed their banquet the night before. And I can remember talking to moms and dads who said, when we decided to do this, I had this, oh, what have you done moment, that they had just taken all that responsibility that they were paying, you know, the taxpayers were paying the public schools to do, and brought it in-house, literally in the house. I remember talking to one mom, delightful woman, who was talking about the vagaries and the challenges and the fear factor. Am I going to get this kid taught this information or not? Because the buck stops right there in the kitchen. But it's yet an idea whose time has come and stayed put. Are you surprised that it's as popular as it is and that it's been as successful as it is?
No, I think that parents have been looking for alternatives for quite some time. You know, when I first went to my first homeschool convention, which is coming up this weekend, by the way, I can't remember if it's 20th or 30th annual, but the first one I went to about 20 years ago, it was probably what a lot of your listeners might think stereotypically of your homeschool audience 20 years ago. It was moms, more orthodox, jean jumpers, hair in the bun, almost Mennonite looking. And they were kind of, but you know, over the last 15, 20 years, the crowd at the homeschool convention is very diverse, all races, all skin colors, all socioeconomic groups. I think this is a option for a lot of parents because there are few private schools if they want that, and those that there are expensive. And so this is an option I think a lot of parents are looking at, and as technology grows, I think it's more of an option even still. It's a little less intimidating if you can get assistance with trigonometry or physics or whatever online, and there's other alternatives. It's becoming more mainstream than it was 20 years ago.
The folks that I talked to, both Steve Stone and Rachel Thompson, didn't have, and I didn't expect that they would, data per se on the quality of education, on the achievement levels of the homeschoolers versus the public school population. And I know you've got some more of that because you do this stuff for a living. What do you understand the performance level of homeschoolers to be vis-a-vis that is happening in the public schools?
Well, the homeschool families typically score 10 to 20 points higher on standardized tests than public school students, and slightly higher than private school students. And I think based on the interview you heard last half hour, that's probably understandable because of the one-on-one attention. You know, my mother happens to be a public school teacher. She's retiring this year after 20-some-odd years. I went to public school and private school, and we've decided to homeschool our 7- and 9-year-old, and so far, it's going pretty well. Although my wife, sometimes I come home and she looks at me like, "What have you done to me?"
But, see, that's the one that I saw. you got a number on your forehead, son.
Yeah.
You come nowadays, that's right.
I tell her this is part of the for better or for worse.
Yeah, but not for school, she said.
Yeah. No, actually, you know, it's challenging. It's rewarding as well. We like the flexibility and the one-on-one attention we can give our children. You know, every child has different learning styles. They're not forced into the one-size-fits-all. And so if our daughter needs more help in reading or our son needs more help in math, we can focus on that. And the things that they do well, we can spend less time on rather than waiting for 29 other kids in the class or 25 others. You know, they get the attention, and you know, our ratio is 1 to 2 per teacher, and there's one principal. So it's going pretty well, and you know, we do have those questions as our kids get older about the harder subjects, but we are part of a homeschool co-op. My daughter takes ballet and art and choir, and my son reluctantly takes choir, and I started teaching a boys' class where we build rockets and blow up things and do some science stuff. We did some firearm safety courses and things like that to give the boys a little bit more comfort in their homeschool co-op. So it's a learning process for me as well and for my wife. But we can focus on teaching and on values as well.
The values piece of it is really kind of just lost. And it's odd because so often it seems to me that the homeschool crowd gets the rolling of the eyes thing. Oh, it's a bunch of those Bible thumpers again. But if you look at the kind of values that are foisted upon us in the public schools,
mm-hmm.
They've got their own agenda. And I don't see how they can't. They try, but they can't really make the argument that somehow their agenda is better than yours is, when yours includes, you know, the basic principles of the Judeo-Christian ethic that has built this country. And I think it's curious that's one of the things that is expected to be that is looked down upon. You know, the kind of the snide, oh, there they go again. Mm-hmm. Piece of this, but on the SATs, for example, the kids are more likely to get into I can't say that their SAT scores are better on average by 10 to 15%. But how does that translate into getting into college?
Well, you know, one thing that is interesting, and if people come to the homeschool convention this Friday and Saturday at the convention center and go around the vendor booth section, they will see hundreds of vendors and dozens of colleges. IU, Purdue, others are setting up booths because they want home-educated students, because they do well in school, and they're more self-directed, and they realize that there is a market there, and it's not just necessarily Christian colleges. It's not just necessarily Christians who are homeschooling as well. Used to be that was the case, but that's not the case at all. It's very diverse, and you know, there's options for everybody. There's kids who are actually taking something called College Plus, which is kind of an interesting thing we're looking at, where you can test out of certain classes, and we're hopeful our kids might be able to do that to save some money on school, and that's an option too. But there's all sorts of college options, and it's not just private schools; it's public as well.
I got this from a listener just now who said he was enjoying the conversation on homeschooling, but he said the thing that bothers me most is the fact that most of these families, and he knows a lot of folks in his neighborhood that are homeschooling, these families are good Christian families, and they are separating themselves from society. Our daughter just graduated from Purdue, son is a junior at Purdue. They are both products of a Perry Township education. We are a Christian family, very involved with the school and other parents. If you take us and others like us out of the public schools, there's a huge hole in the school system. You can protect your kids and keep them under the apron, or you can be involved in their education and influence other kids and families around them. How do you respond to that, the sort of bringing them in under the apron thing?
Well, first of all, you need to train up a child in the way they should go. There's times where you need to train your children and instill those values. You know, you can't be value neutral. Somebody's worldview is going to be present. So we believe the time to instruct our kids is when they're young, and that we chose to do that at home. But what's interesting, having homeschooling becoming kind of more mainstream over the last 20 years, there's been some interesting studies about kids who graduated, like Rachel Thompson, who's in her 30s and now a nurse. And what they found is that we're not withdrawing from society at all. And this may be why some liberals don't like home education. But when it comes to voting, homeschool students between the ages of 25 and 30, I have a big study here, are 95% of them vote compared to 40% of their peers. Ages of 18 to 24, 75% of them vote compared to 25% of their peers. They're more likely to write a letter to the editor, to telephone a legislator. They're very socially involved, very involved in the world, but they may not have been involved in, you know, going to the Britney Spears concert in sixth grade. You know, the goal of home education is the final product, and I think that's what encourages us, is that there's research out there that the kids that we want in the end product we see in home education personally.
Going to take a quick break here. Micah Clark, the American Family Association of Indiana, our guest. Coming back, we'll shift gears away from the homeschool subject and take a hard look at a couple of what we would call, I guess, the social issues, those things that have been benched or tabled on occasion in favor of the financial issues that threaten our economy and threaten our way of life. We'll talk about those and a whole bunch more. By the way, as I go to break, I will tell you that the Homeschool Association Convention, which is this Friday and Saturday, I will be there both days. We'll have a GregGarrison.com booth where we'll have copies of Montana Bound available, and hope to be able to visit with a lot of folks there, and we'll keep on talking about it all week. So you'll find me when you're there and get your copy autographed as you like. Right back. Stick with us. My friends, Micah Clark, the guest of the Garrison Show. Micah, the head of the American Family Association of Indiana. And great to have you with us. Micah, real quick, before we get into these other subjects, the Homeschool Association convention is at the convention center Friday and Saturday, correct?
Yes, it goes from about 9 o'clock until 7 o'clock, I believe, both days. Michael Ferris of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association is one of their leading speakers, but they've got dozens upon dozens of workshops, hundreds of vendors. It's a great opportunity. People can take workshops about how to improve music education, you know, all sorts of topics that, that the homeschool family might encounter, even starting out. So I'd encourage people to take a look at the IAHE.net website, IAHE as an Indiana Association of Home Educators website, and they can see a lot about the convention right there. You know, Greg, I have a good friend who told me one time, you know, when you work in a sewer, you begin to think the whole world stinks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made the decision, my wife and I made the decision to homeschool because of the things I saw happening in public education. I felt like we had only one shot with our children. And that was a decision we made, but I am an advocate for charter schools, public school choice, private schools. That's a decision parents need to make. This is just one of many options, and I think there's more options with technology, even more to come. So we were an advocate of the governor's call for vouchers, and we did, you know, we want to protect private schools as well. But, you know, that's a decision parents need to make on their own based on their values and what they want for their children. And I would never judge a parent for the choice they make. We happen to choose homeschooling because we liked what we saw.
You know, an interesting thing I would suggest to any parent that's interested in or concerned about the quality of their kids' education, you don't have to be thinking about or even wanting to consider homeschooling to make this convention worth going to. Any of the kind of helps that you get there that you see about where your kid may be stumbling or having trouble, these are resources that help folks whose kids are in and are going to stay in public or private schools as well. Okay, let's get to work on a couple of more things, Micah, in the time that's left here. Talk to me a little bit about the whole defense of the family thing that seems to have been kicked not only off the front pages but maybe out of the debate altogether by the money concerns that we've got. Where is that thing nationwide, and what do you see in the next year or so? And will that be any kind of a marquee issue in the upcoming presidential election?
It could be. I think what's interesting about that issue and any issue, if you pick an issue you care about, it could be Second Amendment freedoms, it could be the right to life, it could be the moral and family issues, it could be the culture. A lot of those things are changing on the state level. And while people tend to pay attention to what's going on in the Obama administration and their agenda, there are a lot of positive things happening in the states all across the nation, and we've seen a lot of pro-life legislation. We have a couple states fired up or on deck to allow the citizens to vote on marriage protection. Should marriage be between a man and a woman or something else? Any other group wants it to be, or school vouchers, all sorts of issues that are percolating up from the state levels, and they're mirroring a lot of the federal levels. You know, as Mike Pence, congressman, was fighting to protect federal tax dollars from going to abortion industries, State Senator Scott Schneider was doing it here on the state level as well. So I think you're seeing a lot more connection between the state and the federal, but I don't think the state gets as much attention. So there's things going on. It's just not grabbing the headlines like, say, a meeting with Netanyahu and Obama are.
Well, it's interesting. Those kinds of issues have been they get pushed off the front page as fast as they can because the American media hates them all so badly. That's one. The other one is right to life. Give me the short version of that. That one's been off the front pages. But there's been, according to polls, a pretty big swing in opinion of Americans on the whole business of abortion.
Well, we've never been, even since 1973, we've never been an 80%, 20%, 80% pro-choice, 20% pro-life. Although the media would like to portray pro-lifers as a fringe segment, it's really more 50-50. And if you peel back the onion and ask people, do you think your tax dollars should go for abortion? You know, the numbers go 70-30. You know, do you think kids should have an abortion without their parents' permission? You know, 70-30, those types of things. People may want to say abortion should be legal in some cases, but they want to see restrictions on it. And you see legislation mirroring that desire. And so here in Indiana, we passed a major pro-life bill that's a lot of the attention was on the defunding of Planned Parenthood, but there were other issues in it, requiring women receive information before an abortion in writing rather than verbally. There was some legislation actually limiting abortion after 20 weeks, and some requirements that safety requirements for women if they have to go in an emergency room after an abortion, that there can be a quick follow-up between the hospital and the abortionist, because a lot of these guys fly in from Chicago or out of state, and there's no way for the hospital to quickly contact them. They've addressed that. There's just a lot of things going on, you know, little tiny things going on to protect women and to promote the life of the unborn and the elderly as well.
Mike, I wish we had a whole bunch more time. We're going to just have to catch up more often. That's all there is to it. Thank you so much for being our guest. Michael Clark, the American Family Association of Indiana, out there in front fighting the fight. There's no reason why we can't walk and chew gum at the same time. These social issues don't need to go away because of other problems. And I think, you know, he's not out in the race anymore, but I understand where Governor Daniels is coming from, and I don't think he was talking about shelving those things at all. Quick break. Right back with your phone call. Stick around.